Hello, this is the Daily Encouragement Net podcast for Wednesday, August 26, 2009. We are Stephen and Brooksine Weber. We call our ministry Daily Encouragement, and today, again, we want to share a message that we hope will encourage. If you go to our site today, you will see a picture of the Longaberger Bastard Company headquarters in Ohio, and it's quite an interesting building because it's made in the shape of a basket. Well, today's message title may not necessarily seem to relate to that, but as you listen or perhaps read the message, you will see that it does. It's titled Concurrence. The scripture text is from Exodus 2, 3 and 4.
But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sisters stood at a distance to see what would happen to him.
On the way back from a trip last week, we drove by the headquarters of the Longaberger Company in East Central Ohio. As I mentioned in the introduction, since they specialize in baskets, their headquarters is shaped like a gigantic basket, and it is an amazing sight to see off the highway. We also went in and visited inside as well.
Well, baskets are huge collector items and are used mostly for decorative purposes. In our home, their main use is for flowers, where I can do arrangements, plants, and I also collect vegetables from our garden in baskets. I'm not all that interested in the heirloom quality because of the way I use my baskets and like to give them away, and they're quite an investment. So I guess I'll just stick with the simple little baskets
that she buys at the dollar store or she gets at the thrift shop.
And on a practical level, we also have laundry baskets and trash baskets, and you could name a few others, I'm sure, in your own collections.
Well, all throughout history, baskets have had a practical function. In fact, I found an interesting picture today. I did not take it myself. It appears to be an Indian lady carrying a huge basket on her head. They are first mentioned in the Bible in the book of Genesis, that is, baskets. Well, when we visited Central America, we saw women and children carrying baskets on their heads, such as the picture. When we visited the pre-European Cherokee village 2 weeks ago, we watched Cherokee women making baskets. Today we want to consider a time in the Bible that a basket was used in a very functional way as a means of deliverance.
Pharaoh had decreed that all male babies were to be destroyed. Jochebed had a son, and after his birth she tried to hide him. But at 3 months of age, she could hide him no longer. Babies have a will of their own, and though Jochebed may have sung and rocked the baby to try to pacify his infant whimpers, and I'm sure more than just whimpers, outright crying, surely they turned into a noise that would attract the enemy. All parents experience this with their healthy growing babies when children's volume grows with their size.
Fortunately, at least here in America, we don't have to worry about any enemy taking our child from us. Well, God could have intervened in this matter by silencing the baby, but he didn't work things out that way. So Jochebed came up with a plan of her own. She got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch to make it waterproof and thus so it would float, and placed him in the basket among the reeds along the Nile River. This must have been very hard for her to do, but perhaps she had seen firsthand Pharaoh's vengeance, and her motherly instinct was to protect her baby.
I'm intrigued by the actions taken by the baby's older sister, Miriam, in the next several verses. Even a child had a part in God's redemptive plan. Moses, and I quote, or excuse me, Miriam, stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. I wonder what she was thinking. How much had her mother explained to her? How long did she watch and wait for something to happen?
Well, in time, Pharaoh's daughter came down to the river, found the crying baby, and I quote scripture, had compassion on him. Miriam, who had been watching all along, boldly sprang into action with an ingenious plan. She cleverly volunteered, quote, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" End quote. Notice she doesn't say my mother or his mother, but she said one of the Hebrew women. That took some quick thinking, didn't it? Perhaps she and her mother rehearsed several scenarios that might unfold should the baby be spotted in this most unexpected hideaway. Upon approval, she sought out the baby's mother, who essentially raised her own son.
Well, of course, this baby was Moses, destined to lead God's people. It has long been our conviction that Moses' later greatness is a result of the godly influence of his mother and perhaps his father from a distance during that formative time. But Miriam also played such a vital role in God's plan.
In his book, The Invisible Hand, theologian R.C. Sproul points out, and I quote, "The doctrine of concurrence refers to historical events in which the work of providence has been acted out through human agencies. That means at the same time human agents are acting, God is acting in and through them." And that's the title of today's message, Concurrence.
Today, we need to understand that God is active in even the most seemingly mundane parts of our lives. Miriam made the most of an opportunity, and we should do the same. Do you suppose when Miriam acted on this occasion, she had the slightest notion that her tiny role would be recorded for all to read nearly 3,500 years later? I wonder how often she viewed in her mind's memory Moses as a babe hidden in the bulrushes. It must have been gratifying to see her little brother, who was rescued from the Egyptians' hands, now rescuing his people from their hands and leading them to the Promised Land. God is still working in the mundane today. Moses' story should give us incentive to heed the words of Paul in Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. "Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil."
Small, seemingly insignificant acts of faith and obedience have a major part in the mosaic of God's master plan for our lives. We may desire to do something great for God, and there's nothing wrong with that, but often His plan is the simple day-by-day acts of obedience to Him and follow His leadings, both large and small. We'll just have to wait and see how it all fits together. May the Lord help us all, like Miriam, to do what is appropriate for the moment.
Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful for the supernatural work you perform in our lives. Help us to follow your leading in the small day-to-day promptings we receive from your Spirit as we go about our daily activities. The way you cared for Moses is a great reminder that we are never without hope and our circumstances are never too grave when we walk in your ways and trust you for that which concerns us. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for joining us today for what turned out to be a little longer message than usual. I see we've already gone to 8 minutes and 30 seconds, so I will wrap this up quickly by pointing out we have a few more pictures from our two-week trip to the Midwest last week on the site today that you might want to look at, as well as a friend that I just happened to see yesterday and snapped his photo, Alberto Hernandez, a Peruvian friend of mine. Of course, we also have a couple songs to recommend to today. Trust His Heart, a song by Babbie Mason, available as a video. And the lady singing it, I am not familiar with, but I think she does a great job. And then a song called God is in Control that's available as an audio MP3. You can certainly listen to that since you're listening to this through MP3. Well, again, our website is dailyencouragement.net. This is the message that we have prepared for Wednesday, August 26, 2009. Have a blessed day and continue to let God work.